Title: Template Building for DNB Sessions Masterclass in Ableton Live, Stock Only Intermediate. All right, let's build a drum-and-bass session template that actually makes you faster. Not a starter song, not a giant pile of half-baked synths. A real template, a decision removal machine. The kind that loads quickly, routes cleanly, and has your core processing ready, so you can write ideas immediately instead of rebuilding the same infrastructure every session. And we're doing it stock only, no third-party plugins. Just Ableton set up properly. By the end, you'll have a saved live set template built for rolling DNB, jungle, and darker dancefloor vibes. It'll include a clean track layout, returns that fit DNB, performance macros, so your template feels playable, and a light master chain that doesn't trick you into mixing into a lie. Let's go step by step. First, global project settings. Do this once, and you stop fighting your DAW. Set your tempo to 174 BPM. That's the sweet spot for modern DNB. You can always nudge to 172 or 176 later, but choose a default and commit. Time signature is 4/4. Now the important part, warping defaults. Go into preferences and turn auto warp long samples off. This is one of those quiet workflow killers Ableton trying to help by warping breaks weirdly before you even touch them. Set your default warp mode mentally like this. Drums want beats mode, tonal stuff can use complex or complex pro when needed. That one habit saves you from mushy transients on breaks and tight drum loops. Also, I recommend metronome off by default. DNB groove is often programmed and nudged. The click can keep you rigid. You can turn it on when recording, but don't let it be the vibe police. And quickly, make a consistent folder structure per project. Something like samples, prints, references. Boring, yes, but it's how you move fast later. Now we build the track layout. Think in groups, because groups become your control centers. Create a drums group with tracks for kick, snare, hats closed, hats open or rides, a break loop audio track for amen-style chops or top loops, percussion for extra hits and foley, and a drum effects track for fills, impacts, and one-shots. Then create a bass group with two tracks, sub and mid bass. This split is non-negotiable if you want a stable low end. Sub stays clean and mono-safe. Mid bass gets movement and grit. Then a music group, pads and atmos, and stabs or riffs. Keep it simple by default. You can always add more tracks later, but don't clutter the template. Then an effects and vocal group, vox shots or hooks and risers and impacts. And finally, a utility section, a reference track, a print or resample track, and I'm going to add one more from the coach notes in a minute, a mix check track. That one is secretly a superpower. Before we do processing, due naming and color coding. It sounds cosmetic, but it's navigation speed. Red for drums, purple for bass, blue for music, green for FX, whatever you like, as long as it's consistent. Now routing and gain staging. Here's the big mindset. We're building headroom into the template so you can write loud later, not accidentally clip your way into bad decisions. On every group track, drums group, bass group, music group, FX group, put a utility at the very beginning of the chain. First device. This is one of those teacher moves that changes everything. Set the group utility gain to around -6 dB to start. That's your default headroom. On the bass group utility, enable bass mono. Keep the foundation stable. Width is for higher layers. Optionally, drop a spectrum after that on the groups. Not because you want to stare at it constantly, just because quick checks are useful when something feels off. Now, the reference track routing. You want referencing to be safe and predictable. Set the reference track output to sends only if you can, so it doesn't accidentally hit your master processing chain the same way your track does. If you prefer routing it directly to the master, then you need a rule. When referencing, disable master processing so you're not comparing your mix through a different lens. Add a utility on the reference track too. Use it to level match by ear. Not luffs chasing, just does it feel similarly loud. Also add a mono toggle so you can check what collapses. Now let's add the MIX check track from the expansion notes, because this is a pro workflow trick that's still stock only. Create a track called MIX check, set audio from to master, and set monitor to in. Now put spectrum, tuner, and utility on it. Spectrum for a fast balance glance, tuner to confirm sub notes instantly, and utility for mono checks. The key benefit, you can analyze without touching your master chain. That keeps your master simple and your workflow clean. Next, drum core chains. These are not rules, they're starting points. The point is you open the template and you already have in the ballpark processing ready. On the kick track, go EQ8 first. High pass around 25 to 30 HC to clear the useless rumble. If it's boxy, dip a bit around 250 to 400 HC. Then drum bus. Light drive, maybe 5 to 15%. Be careful with boom. DDNB already has a lot happening in the low end. Use transients to bring punch forward plus 10 to plus 30 is a good range. Then saturator with soft clip on. Drive 1 to 4 dB. And end with utility set to mono. Width 0. You want the kick to beat a laser in the center. On the snare track, start with AQ8 again. High pass around 90 to 120 HG. If you need body, a little push around 180 to 220. For crack, look around 2 to 4.5 kHC. And if it's dull, a gentle air shelf above 10 kHC. Then drum bus. You can push transients harder on snare than kick. Plus 20 to plus 40 can be totally fine. And optionally, for jungle bite, add reduct subtly. Downsample a little. And keep it low and dry wet. It's seasoning, not the meal. On hats and tops. Keep it controlled. High pass with auto filter somewhere around 200 to 400 HC so you're not stacking low junk. Add a touch of saturator drive, and then EQ8 to tame harshness, usually around 7 to 10 kHC if needed. If your hats are ripping your head off, the fix is rarely turn them down, only it's often a small harshness cut and slightly less distortion. Now the break loop track. This is where DNB glue lives. Set warp mode to beats. Preserve transients. Envelope around 20 to 40 to tighten hits. EQ8 high pass around 120 to 200 HE. Let the kick and subone the real low end. Then drum bus. Drive it. Bring transients forward. Then a compressor. Ratio around 2:1. Attack 10 to 30 milliseconds. Release on auto and aim for 2 to 4 dB of gain reduction. You're not flattening it, you're making it sit. Now base foundation. Sub plus mid split like a pro. On the sub track. Load operator. Oscillator assign. One voice. Keep it boring on purpose. Boring sub equals consistent drop. Before operator, throw on MIDI velocity to tighten the velocity range. Something like output high 90 to 110. Why? Because inconsistent MIDI velocity creates inconsistent sub energy, and inconsistent sub energy makes you mix in circles. After operator, EQ8 with a low pass around 120 to 180 HC. Keep it clean. Add a saturator with 1 to 2 dB drive and soft clip on. Then utility width 0, and mono reinforcement. The sub's job is stability. Now mid-bass. Use wave-eatable or operator, depending on your preference. A simple start patch, wave-eatable with a sawish shape on oscillator 1, sine or square for weight on oscillator 2. Unison 2 to 4, but keep it subtle. DNB bass needs mono compatibility, especially if it's carrying the groove. Then the mid-bass chain. EQ8 high pass around 120 to 180 HC so it doesn't fight the sub. Add amp in tube or heavy mode, drive it. Then saturator with more drive, maybe 3 to 8 dB. Soft clip on. Then auto filter for movement. That filter is going to become a performance control. And that leads into one of the biggest upgrades you can make, performance macros. This is the difference between a template that's organized and a template that feels like an instrument. On key tracks, create audio effect racks and map the parameters you always touch. On mid-bass, make a rack and map macro 1 to the auto filter cutoff. Call it growl. Map macro 2 to saturator drive. Call it bite. Macro 3 to resonance. Call it shape. Macro 4 to utility width. But cap it, don't let yourself accidentally widen the low mids into phase issues. Keep the sub mono. Widen the upper character only. If you have Ableton Suite, you can use the LFO device and map its depth to cut off for macro 5 movement. If you don't have the LFO device, no stress. Automate the cutoff manually in arrangement. Honestly, that's still very authentic. DNB phrase-based automation is half the genre. Now do a drum group rack on the drums group. Map punch to drum bus transients. Blue to the compressor threshold. Crit to saturator drive. Air to a high shelf in EQ8. This gives you quick energy moves without digging into devices. And that matters because when inspiration hits, you want one knob, not 7 clicks. Now we build returns. DNB needs space, but it has to be controlled. Reverb without filters will ruin your punch fast. Return A is short room for drum cohesion. Use hybrid reverb. Small room, short decay like 0.3 to 0.6 seconds. Low pre-delay. Then EQ8 and high pass aggressively like 300 to 600 HE. Yes, that high. This isn't for low end. It's for vibe and glue. Return B is plate for snare and vocal shine. Hybrid reverb plate. Decay around 0.8 to 1.6 seconds. pre-delay 15 to 30 milliseconds, so the snare stays punchy before the reverb blooms. Then high pass again, 250 to 500 HC. Optional compressor if tails get wild. Return C is tempo delay. Use echo sync on 1/8 or 1/4 timing. Feedback 20 to 45%. Filter it. Cut lows below 300 HC. Cut highs above 8 to 10 KHC. Then utility widen just the return. This is where width belongs on effects, not on your sub. Return D is parallel distortion. This is your send to filth. Saturator with heavy drive, soft clip on. Amp in heavy mode, drive it. Then EQ 8 band limit it. High pass around 200 HC and low pass around 8 to 10 KHC. The distortion return should add attitude, not mod and hiss. Return E is parallel drum crush, New York style. Compressor ratio 8:1, attack 3 to 10 ms, release 50 to 120 ms, and crush it hard, like 10 to 20 dB of gain reduction. Then drum bus for additional smack. Then EQ 8 high pass around 80 to 120 HC so you're not wrecking the low end. Teacher tip here, in DNB, sends are movement tools. Don't just set and forget. Automate sends and fills, the last two bars of a phrase, and pre-drop moments. That's where professional energy often comes from, not from adding more tracks. Now an important coach note. Pre-FX sends. For aggressive parallel returns like distortion and crush, consider setting those sends to pre on the tracks where it matters. That means even if you automate the track volume down or mute it for a trick, the parallel character can keep punching through consistently. It's amazing for ghost fills and drop fakeouts. Next, sidechain setup. DNB style. A lot of people sidechain everything to the kick and call it a day. In DNB, be more intentional. Sub sidechains lightly to the kick. Just enough to keep the transient clear, but the sub should feel consistent, not like it's ducking like house music. On the sub, add compressor. Enable sidechain from kick. Ratio 2:1 to 4:1. Fast attack 1 to 5 milliseconds, release 50 to 120 milliseconds, and aim for 1 to 3 dB of gain reduction. Small numbers, big clarity. Pads and Atmos can sidechain harder. Ratio 4:1, slower release 150 to 300 ms, and 3 to 6 dB reduction. That clears space without needing to turn them down permanently. Mid-bass can sidechain, to kick and sometimes snare depending on the groove. If your snare is getting masked, a tiny bit of snare trigger ducking on the bass character layer can make the backbeat snap without raising snare volume. This audio version is shortened for playback.